So imagine you have this like giant X-ray machine for a city skyline.
Okay, it's an X-ray machine.
Right. And usually when we look at a commercial high-rise or, one of those pristine suburban subdivisions, we expect that X-ray to just show us precision, like pure engineering.
Right, you look through the lens and you expect to see the spreadsheets, the zoning laws, the structural supports.
Exactly. It's math. We like things to be visible. We want them categorized into neat little rows on a financial ledger.
Well, yeah, it's comforting because it's binary.
Right.
The asset is either profitable or it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, the paperwork is clean, the margins are calculated, the physical structure is sound.
But what happens when that X-ray machine is broken? Or actually worse, what happens when it completely misses the shadows lurking right there between the steel beams?
Oh, that's the real question.
Yeah. So today, we are stepping into a very different kind of real estate deep dive. It's a bit darker. We've got this fascinating stack of source material in front of us. It's basically a digital vault of case files, police reports, and these incredibly detailed personal field notes.
And those notes were compiled by Priyanshu Adithakur,
Yes, exactly.
who is known in the industry as Pri. And he's a commercial real estate investment advisor and a fellow realtor. He works heavily in the Central Ohio market.
Right. And Pri has curated this collection that he ominously calls the Midnight Ledger. I love that
And
title.
it's very cinematic.
It really is. And our mission today is to essentially act as real estate detectives for you and really dig into this ledger because while most people look at property and just see, cap rates and paperwork, Pri's boots on the ground approach documents these darker, far more complex narratives that are just woven into the concrete.
We're looking at what he calls ghost risks.
Ghost risks, break that down for us.
So ghost risks are these unseen and completely unexplained variables in real estate. We're talking about high-profile scandals, unsolved mysteries, and like catastrophic financial frauds that can literally liquidate a multi-million-dollar portfolio in an instant.
Yeah.
These are the cases the police files couldn't always close. And frankly, they are the cases the broader real estate market actively tries to forget.
Right, they want to sweep it under the rug. So look, if you have ever walked into a random open house, or if you've scrolled past one of those flashy real estate influencers promising massive returns, this deep dive is going to totally change how you see things.
Oh, absolutely.
We are putting on our investigative journalist hats today. We are going to look at how a real estate detective like Pri sees the things the spreadsheets just completely miss.
And we really have to start with the physical spaces themselves.
Yeah, the first section of the ledger is logged under this really chilling heading. It's called The Ransom of Routine.
That title is so telling, because the focus here is on the physical vulnerabilities of the job itself. I mean, before an investor can ever get to a closing table and sign papers, someone has to physically walk through and show the property.
Right.
And what's so striking in Pri's notes is how the mundane, everyday routine of this profession is actively weaponized by bad actors.
Let's look at the Beverly Carter case. The file is Carter 2014-0925. Beverly was this highly successful agent back in 2014, and she gets a call from a prospective cash buyer who wanted to see a rural property.
Which is, the most standard, boring routine in the industry.
Exactly. You get a lead, you meet the client, you show the house, it's Tuesday. But she was targeted specifically because she was a real estate agent.
Right. The perpetrators understood the actual mechanics of her job. They knew that the professional obligation of a real estate agent requires them to meet complete strangers and offer you a loan at vacant properties.
It's terrifying when you say it like that.
It is. They used the routine of her profession as the bait to kidnap her. The routine itself was the vulnerability.
Which brings us to another really dark case in the ledger, the 2011 Ashley Oakland murder. Pri's notes title this one, Silence in the Model Home.
That one is heartbreaking.
It really is. Ashley was working inside a model town home in West Des Moines. And I want to pause here and really break down the mechanics of a model home because I was thinking about this. If you run a retail store, you have security measures, right?
Yeah, of
You have
course.
cameras at the door, you have constant foot traffic, you have a literal physical counter between you and the customer.
You have institutional safeguards built into the architecture.
Yes. But an open house, you are essentially unlocking the front door of an empty, isolated box and just inviting whoever wanders by to come inside.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate vulnerability disguised as just a normal afternoon.
And the psychology of a model home makes it even more insidious, I think, because a model home is architecturally designed to mimic a perfect, safe domestic sanctuary.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. The lighting is warm and bright. The furniture is beautifully staged. Maybe there's soft music playing or cookies baking in the kitchen.
The classic cookie trick.
Exactly. The entire environment is engineered to make you drop your guard and feel at home. But for the agent sitting inside it, alone, waiting for walk-ins, it is a profoundly isolated environment.
Because no one is actually living there.
Right. You are totally removed from the safety of a corporate office. You're stripped of security personnel, and you're just placed in this synthetic sanctuary.
You're literally just sitting there on a staged couch,
Yeah.
waiting for the front door to open.
Yeah. And this is why these stories matter so deeply to the industry, and why someone with Pree's dual perspective documents them so meticulously.
Because it's a huge blind spot.
A massive one. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the entire real estate market functions on an unbelievable amount of assumed trust.
Yeah.
Just think about the physical mechanics of a standard property showing.
Okay.
You meet someone you have never seen before in your life.
Yeah.
You turn your back to them to fumble with a lockbox on a door. You unlock the door, and then you walk ahead of them to a confined space.
Wow. When you break it down mechanically like that, you turn your back, you walk into a confined space, it's trust operating entirely on autopilot.
Yes. The market normalizes this routine so heavily that the risk becomes invisible to everyone until the unthinkable happens, like it did to Mike Emert in 2001.
Right, case file Emert 2001-01014, which the ledger ominously calls the final showing.
It's deeply unsettling.
It is, but that's just the passive vulnerability of the job, right?
Right.
Like waiting for something to happen. What happens when the situation isn't a quiet open house, but an active known conflict?
Well, this is where we transition into the anomalies and the confrontations found in the Midnight Ledger.
Yeah.
Because real estate isn't just about handing over keys to happy buyers.
Definitely not.
A massive part of property management is taking those keys away.
Which brings us to the tragedy of David Stocco in 2019. The ledger specifically notes this file as the final notice, the eviction.
Yeah.
And this isn't a passive situation at all. This is a highly charged confrontation. David went to check on an apartment he owned to deal with tenants who were supposed to be out.
And we really have to understand the psychological flashpoint of an eviction here. It is arguably one of the most volatile experiences in human society
Oh, so.
because you are dealing with the immediate loss of shelter. That is a foundational, primal human need. And it's usually compounded by financial ruin, shame, and sheer desperation.
Right, they have nowhere to go.
Exactly. So when David Stocco walked into that apartment, he wasn't just walking into a unit turnover. He was walking into a powder keg.
Okay, let me push back on how the industry is structured then. Because when I read this part of Pree's notes, it sounds like we force landlords and real estate agents into the role of repo men and debt collectors.
We do.
But think about it. If a bank repossesses a car, they send a specialized tactical tow team, right? If the state seizes assets, they send armed officers. But for a home, we send a guy in a polo shirt with a clipboard. Why is there no institutional protection?
That is the exact systemic failure the Midnight Ledger forces us to look at. The broader market just desires friction-free transactions. Investors want the rent collected and the units turned over quickly so the spreadsheets stay green.
So they outsource the risk.
Exactly. The system outsources the physical and emotional danger of that friction to the individuals on the ground. When you are a property manager, you are the physical embodiment of the eviction. You become the sole target of that tenant's desperation.
And sometimes, simply being in proximity to that level of conflict and desperation makes people vanish entirely.
Yeah, this gets into the really eerie stuff.
Right. The ledger contains these completely baffling disappearance anomalies. There's the Jennifer Kess case from 2006, which Pry refers to as the ghost in the machine, and the Suya Kim mystery from 1991, known as the sentinel's intuition.
These cases are perhaps the most haunting in the entire vault because they lack resolution. Both of these women were property managers, and the ledger asks this really vital question: what did their sentinel's intuition pick up on?
What did they see in the normal course of their duties that made them a target?
Right. Like, think about the access a property manager has.
Okay.
When you manage a complex, you see the underbelly of your tenants' lives.
Yeah.
You enter units for routine plumbing checks, and maybe you accidentally stumble across a drug stash.
Oh, wow.
You
Yeah.
review security footage and witness illicit activities. You intercede in domestic disputes over noise complaints. You become a witness simply by doing your job.
You see things you aren't supposed to see.
Exactly. You are the sentinel of that property, and sometimes seeing too much makes you a massive liability to someone else.
And yet, the market's response to these tragedies is essentially to just paint over them.
Literally and figuratively. I mean, a building where a tragedy occurred will eventually be sold. The carpets get replaced, the walls get a fresh coat of agreeable gray paint, and the property goes right back onto the spreadsheet.
Right. Let's actually define this for the listener because Prize Notes mention that the market just waits for the quote-unquote cap rate to recover.
Okay, yeah. So a capitalization rate, or cap rate, is basically the expected rate of return on a real estate investment property. It is pure math. Net operating income divided by the current market value.
So it's totally divorced from the human element.
Completely. The cap rate doesn't care if a property manager vanished from the parking lot 10 years ago. It only cares about the monthly yield.
But Pri's philosophy, what makes him a real estate detective, is that you cannot truly advise on commercial real estate if you ignore that human cost. You have to understand the emotional and physical realities of the assets you're dealing with.
Right, that's the boots on the ground approach.
Yeah, you aren't just an investment advisor calculating a cap rate in some high-rise office. You are a realtor who actually understands what it takes to walk those specific halls in Central Ohio every single day.
Which is really the only way to protect a client's interests. You look at the zoning laws and the financials, yes, but you also look at the historical and social footprint of the asset. You look for those ghost risks.
It's wild that a physical space can hide that much danger. But, and this is a big pivot here, what happens when the building itself isn't the trap, but the paperwork is?
Ah, yes.
That takes us into a totally different kind of ghost risk documented in the Midnight Ledger. We are shifting from physical space to the digital and financial space.
We are talking about the financial phantoms. These are the crimes that don't leave a chalk outline on the floor, but they can completely wipe out a life savings or a massive investment portfolio overnight.
Let's open the fraud investigations file, and I want to dive straight into the Caesar Pina Ponzi scheme.
Oh, this one is wild.
It is. The Ledger dubs this specific file ML2026CP, the Influencer Premium. This is connected to that massive Fling NJ real estate empire that completely collapsed. And Priya wrote this very specific, incredibly ominous detail in the margins of this case file.
What did he write?
It just says, quote, "He didn't sell properties."
Right. He didn't sell properties. He sold the illusion of access. What's fascinating to analyze here is how the mechanics of real estate fraud have completely evolved. I mean, decades ago, a massive real estate fraud required elaborate forged documents, fake notary stamps, boiler rooms full of guys cold calling marks.
Like a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Today, the most dangerous weapon in a fraudster's arsenal is just a smartphone.
Okay, but hold on. Let me play devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure.
If I am an investor and I am putting hundreds of thousands of dollars into a real estate project, I am not doing it because I liked an Instagram reel. Isn't buyer beware still a thing? Like, how are sophisticated, wealthy people falling for this influencer premium? Is it really just the 21st century version of a snake oil salesman using a digital filter?
It is, but you have to understand how it bypasses the brain's risk assessment centers.
Okay, tell me.
It operates on a highly sophisticated psychological level. The influencer premium utilizes what psychologists call parasocial relationships.
Wait, break that down for us. Parasocial.
Yeah, so a parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship where a person extends emotional energy, interest, and time toward a media persona. You feel like you truly know them, but the persona doesn't even know you exist.
Oh, like being obsessed with a celebrity?
Exactly. But real estate influencers manufacture this brilliantly for business. They post daily video walkthroughs of active construction sites, pointing at drywall and talking about profit margins. They post videos of themselves driving rented Lamborghinis or flying on private jets.
Oh, right, parading local celebrities through their properties.
Yes. So they create this documentary of their own fake success.
And by watching them every day, the investor feels like they are part of the inner circle.
Precisely. The influencer creates an intense fear of missing out FOMO, combined with a complete illusion of transparency. They literally say, "Look, I'm showing you the framing of the house right now on my phone." Transparency.
But showing some wooden studs on an iPhone isn't transparency. It's not an audited financial statement.
Exactly. But that synthetic trust creates massive blind spots. People who would normally demand a rigorous title search, environmental reports, and audited ledgers, they suddenly wire hundreds of thousands of dollars based on an Instagram story.
That's insane.
The critical thinking part of their brain is just short-circuited by the flashy narrative and the perceived social proof.
And the Ledger actually ties this concept of misplaced trust into another devastating case, one which shows how these business relationships can end in total catastrophe.
The McStay family case.
Yeah, from 2010. The file here is framed as The Desert's Debt and the Cost of Trust.
The McStay case is incredibly tragic. Now, to be clear, this wasn't a digital Ponzi scheme, but at its core, it was fundamentally about the fatal collapse of a business relationship.
Right.
It highlights the ultimate cost of trust when serious money's on the line. In commercial real estate, you are constantly entering into complex partnerships. You are doing syndications.
And a syndication, for those listening who might not know, is essentially when a group of investors pool their money together to buy a massive property, like a 300-unit apartment complex, that they couldn't afford individually.
Right. You are legally and financially binding yourself to other people. If you do not truly know who you are getting into bed with financially, if you haven't done the deep, uncomfortable background checks, the risks are astronomical.
Business disputes in high-stakes real estate can escalate into absolute nightmares.
They really can. And it all comes back to why Prize methodology emphasizes being a real estate detective. You cannot just take the glossy brochure at face value.
Or the Instagram reel.
Exactly. Oh. This is a core truth of the modern market. In a world of absolute information overload, where literally anyone can rent a luxury car for an hour and claim to be a real estate mogul online, critical thinking is your only real defense.
You have to do the work.
Yes. Relying on influencer hype instead of actual boots-on-the-ground due diligence is a guaranteed recipe for ruin.
You have to look for the ghosts. You have to ask the hard questions that the influencer doesn't want to answer on camera.
You have to ask, where is the capital actually coming from? Who exactly holds the title to this property? What are the verifiable historical market conditions in this specific Central Ohio neighborhood, rather than the national trends being shouted on some guru's podcast?
Right.
Pri's approach, combining that high-level commercial advisory view with the granular, street-level reality of a realtor, is designed to strip away the influencer premium and expose the actual bones of the asset.
Man, it really changes how you look at the physical and digital architecture around us. Let's step back and look at the whole journey we've just taken through the Midnight Ledger today.
It's been a lot.
It has. We started with the physical dangers, the chilling mechanics of silence in the model home, where the everyday mundane routine of an open house is weaponized into a trap.
Yeah, and then we explored the emotional powder kegs of evictions and the anomalies of property managers whose sentinel's intuition may have actually cost them their lives.
Right. And then we moved all the way to the financial devastation of the influencer premium, where the danger isn't physical violence at all, but the quiet digital theft of an entire life savings, all wrapped up in a social media bow and a parasocial relationship.
We've really seen the unseen side of the property market today. Yeah. And this is exactly why professionals with a dual perspective document these shadow risks.
You need someone who knows how to read the paperwork, absolutely. But you also need someone who knows when the paperwork is lying to you.
Because the risks don't care if you're a seasoned institutional investor managing a massive fund or just someone trying to buy their very first duplex.
Exactly. And for you listening, this applies to your life right now. Whether you are looking to invest in a boutique hotel, trying to figure out how to manage a short-term rental, or literally just signing a lease for an apartment in a new city, the buildings you interact with every single day carry hidden histories.
They absolutely do.
They carry complex human risks that go far, far beyond the lease agreement or the deed.
Every building is a repository of human behavior. The good, the bad, the desperate, and the criminally deceptive. Understanding that gives you a massive advantage in navigating the market.
It really does. So I want to leave you with this thought. Remember that broken X-ray machine we talked about at the very beginning of this deep dive?
Yeah.
The one that only shows the clean lines of the spreadsheets and misses all the ghosts. Well, we are entering an era where spreadsheets are being replaced by artificial intelligence.
Oh, definitely.
Real estate firms are already using predictive algorithms to automatically calculate cap rates, project neighborhood growth, and price homes instantly. But what happens when those algorithms start calculating the ghost risks for us?
It's a wild thought.
Right. If every police report, every tragic history, and every unresolved anomaly is scraped by an AI, will a building's dark past suddenly become an automated line item? Imagine trying to sell your home only to find out an algorithm has permanently devalued it because of a ghost risk that happened 20 years before you even moved in.
Wow.
So the next time you walk past a pristine model home or see an influencer promising easy returns, ask yourself what is still hiding just off the ledger waiting to be uncovered.